Hi, I'm Orcish Archivist Nixilis. Maya.
Can you believe that it's already Avatar The Last Airbender season?
I know, it comes so fast. And can I tell you, I have actually been looking forward to this set for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this... A lot of people are like, ah, universe is beyond this, universe is beyond that. It's great until they make the one for you. This is the one for me.
Oh, okay. Did you grow up watching Avatar?
Yes, absolutely. I remember like on holidays in Queensland at the hotel that had Foxtel or whatever it was, sitting in my bed at like 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning with Nick Jr. on and being like, oh, Avatar's on.
This is like back to the era of which we were watching them as they were coming out.
Yeah,
like you couldn't binge Avatar. Now you can.
You literally couldn't.
You literally, I will say, Mom did get me and my brother the DVD collections, like once all of the seasons were out. And so like then we could binge it, and we definitely did. But I remember watching, you know, book three Fire and the whole like Ozai arc, and you had to wait every single week to know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you're like 10 or 11 or 12 years old, agony.
Waiting sucks.
Agony.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is definitely really cool. There's a huge nostalgia hit. It also looks really well designed. And obviously, you know, we've been spoiled, quote unquote, of bending mechanics for a while. They were previewed at an, you know, MTG like con of some kind way back. And so we saw, you know, if you earthbend, firebend, waterbend, and airbend, transform Aang. And we all just...
That's so many bending. That's so many bending.
I'm going to be the next Avatar. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. The mechanics look really cool. And the cards, now that we're, you know, as of time of recording, we're knee deep in spoiler season. I think we're nearing the end of it, though, because the set pre-releases next week. And so... all going according to plan, this episode will be coming out next Monday. And
I know, so on a rare occasion, we will theoretically be releasing this before the pre-release.
Yeah.
Can you imagine such a thing?
Stranger things have happened. Well, so let's, you know, welcome back again to another spoiler card prediction episode, where we talk about cards that have been spoiled and the ones that we think are going to see play in Standard and potentially play in other formats now that we're focusing on constructed, you know, competitive 60 card. And we're talking about Modern and we're talking about Highlander. What are we going to start off with, Maya?
So, like all good 10-year-old children sat in front of the TV, we're going to start with our vegetables.
Yeah.
The first card we're going to talk about is maybe the most obvious one in the set. It's Heartless Act. It is one and a black for an instant that says destroy target creature with no counters on it or remove 3 counters from target creature.
I'm really excited for this to come back in Standard because this was last printed in Ikoria, I believe. Very cool to have Heartless Act, back in Standard. And instant speed black removal. This is something that we've been saying, you know, we said this throughout Spider-Man. We said this even during Edge of Eternities. Post-rotation black removal is still really hurting, but this set is giving us a lot.
Yeah, it gives us a lot of good answers. Also, just this card is very powerful. Mm-hmm. Even in Pioneer, right, which is the kind of... the
Pioneer is the new standard of, in terms of like unloved formats.
Yeah, definitely Modern Light. But this was the removal spell that you were playing in your black mid-range decks because it was just kind of the most versatile. It had the most like additional use case, right? Removing 3 counters from a thing is really important. And it's worth noting that in Standard, like there are a couple of big misses for this card, like this most for the most part won't hit VV. It won't hit anything with that has a cauldron counter on it. But in a week's time, that may not so much be a problem.
I was going to say, it's not going to hit Ouroboroid, depending on when you cast the Heartless Act. It's not going to hit Ouroboroid.
I think it's likely to hit Ouroboroid. I think that one will actually be fine. If the Ouroboroid trigger resolves, it's dead.
It's not going to happen. Interesting. And I believe you also pointed out this can handle Kaito.
In situations where there's already a nowhere to run on the board, it can, yeah. So removing the counters from a creature is a non-zero piece of utility, right? Because it's not specifically +1/+1 counters. So if for some reason you are able to target a Kaito that has 3 loyalty counters, you can use Heartless Act to remove those loyalty counters. So when it goes to your turn, it will die to state-based actions.
In terms of the... So the mode is remove up to 3 counters from target creature?
That is correct.
Okay. Because I was saying, if it's target permanent, no problem. Kaito no longer has hexproof when it's a planeswalker. Okay. Okay. Well, then this could be a sideboard piece maybe for Pixie against Emir midrange, which is one of its harder matchups.
Yeah. I mean, I think this card's probably 4 of in the main deck of Pixie, but...
Sure. Look, 2 mana, instant speed, black removal is the minimum. That tends to be the bar, right? When we talked about go for the throat, when we talk about shoot the sheriff, long goodbye, all of these things, 2 mana, instant speed, removal, very important.
Yep, and I would say so far this is the least conditional in standard, which is really good.
Amazing. What's next? Is it one of mine?
It's one of yours.
Ooh, I'm going to start with a green card. One of my next picks.
What?
Sorry. Predictable, I know. So the card that I want to start with is Badger Mole Cub. Ooh. Badger Mole Cub is 1 and a green for a Badger Mole. When this creature enters Earthbend 1, and Earthbending is a new mechanic, target land you control becomes a 0/0 creature with haste that's still a land. Put a +1/+1 counter on it. When it dies or is exiled, return it to the battlefield tapped. Whenever you tap a creature for mana, add an additional green.
Okay, so you said it was 2-mana 2/3?
It's a 2-mana 2/2.
Okay, so it's a 2-mana 2/2 that is also a 1/1. So
yeah.
It's kind of 2 bodies,
mm-hmm.
and the risk of the land is mitigated by the Earthbending text,
mm-hmm.
and it makes all your land, all your creature lands double for mana? It's whenever...
Whenever you tap a creature for mana, add an additional green.
Also, this works with Llanowar Elves.
It works
well.
With Llanowar Elves. And mono green Ouroboroid aggro has been gaining a little bit of traction.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able, because what you can do with that land, it gains haste. It's a creature. You tap it, it adds 2 straight away. That's a non-zero benefit. That's not a non-zero benefit. Like,
sure. So in this world where you're going like a turn 1 Llanowar Elf into turn 2 Badger Mole Cub, you now have 2 spare mana from either the Llanowar Elf or the land.
You could feasibly cast an Ouroboroid on that turn. If you have a Llanowar Elves out, because Ouroboroid is 4.
Yes.
If you have turn 1 Llanowar Elves,
yep.
Turn 2 Badger Mole.
Yep.
Oh, wait, no.
You'd have to have an extra land. But you still are spending functionally 4 mana on turn 2.
Yeah.
Which is big.
That's really impressive.
Especially in a deck with such, like, high mana to power, like, threat ratio cards.
Yeah. I love it. I love a green card.
Yeah.
I love a green card. I think this card, not for nothing, I think it will also be interesting in Commander. This card is a mythic, which is really cool.
Sure.
Like, and I think that's, again, that speaks to the power. It's 2 bodies in 1 for 2 mana. I think it's really awesome. I think it's going to find a home in these, like, Simic, more mono green than Simic, but like with these mono green counter decks, especially because that land has a counter on it. So Heartless Act cannot target it, but can remove counters from it. But it's still a land. So.
Yeah, I mean, removing the counters from the land still kills it, right?
Still kills it, but then because of the Earthbend text that's on it, it comes back tapped. So I see nothing but upsides.
It's all upside. And, like, this card is almost certainly going to see play in Simic, I think.
It's really good.
It's 3 power. Sorry, it's a 2-mana 3/3 with upside, basically.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
It's good. It's fantastic. I really like it. So that's my green card pick so far.
You know what other card is really good? Firebending Student.
Yeah. No, Firebending Student is really good. Do you want to... What does Firebending Student do?
Firebending Student is 1 and a red for a 1/2 with prowess. And Firebending X, where X is its power. Yeah. And for those who don't know what firebending is, it is when this creature attacks, you create a number of red mana, in this case equal to its power because it's firebending X, where X is the power, and you don't lose red mana until the end of combat.
Yeah, we didn't really need another good red prowess card.
We didn't. When I first read this, I was like, oh, it's Vivi again.
Oh!
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, you just like...
add mana.
You just cast your Monstrous Rage effect on this, and you attack, and now all of a sudden your Monstrous Rage is the best ritual in the game.
Obviously not actually Monstrous Rage.
Not literal actual not literal, Monstrous
like,
Rage.
Like Dreadmaw's Ire, Violent Urge.
Yeah,
those
yeah, yeah.
kinds of cards. We understand.
The one that gives us +3/+0 in haste.
It's Ali's favorite. Like, we get it.
Yeah, yeah,
we get it. It's not Monstrous Rage, we're aware.
No. But the more that I thought about the play patterns with this card, the more broken it seems.
Yes. So there has already been a turn 3 kill figured out with Firebending Student. And that, to me, is never a good sign when the set hasn't come out yet and people have already figured out how to win on turn 3 with something. And turn 3 is that kind of pivotal make or break moment in Standard for winning. Like, that was where Corey Steelcutter was. Like, it's kind of, Vivi's not turn 3, but it feels kind of like turn 3. And so what you can do with Firebending Student is you can cast Dreadmaw's Ire, Prowess on the stack, resolves, it's a 2-2, and then it's a 4-4 with Trample. You can then cast Bulk Up, which doubles your target powers. It doubles target creature's power and toughness until end of turn. So Prowess trigger on the stack, 5, double 10. Now you go to combat, you attack with Firebending Student, you Firebend 10, and you add 10 red mana. Bulk Up has Flashback.
For 4 red red. Yeah.
For 4 red red. And so you can flashback, bulk up with the mana that you've gained from firebending. Prowess trigger on the stack, it goes to 11, double it, 22 with trample.
I mean, this is just,
well,
it's just another muster with red out of red. Right?
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. Card's great.
A Magical Christmas Land turn 3 kill with like 2 mana 1/2. In my mind is fine, right? Because it's like, okay, yeah, it's a little bit of a removal check, but also if you want this to work, you have to be playing Bulk Up in your deck. And like, you don't want to be playing Bulk Up in your deck. But I think when you pair that with also Slickshot Show Off and, you know, also Razorkin Needlehead and also Screaming Nemesis, I think it starts to get scary, right? Because like, you need what? Like, a pump spell and a violent urge most of the time, both of which are instants to, and you're already getting a bunch of mana from the attack trigger on the student. Like, one of the big issues with prowess decks in general is a lot of the time you have to go all in on one creature in order to push through damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're attacking with your Slickshot Show Off and your Monastery Swift Spear, and you have to choose which one of those two things you're giving additional power, right? With your Monstrous Rage effect. So with your Dreadmaw's Isle or whatever.
Yeah.
But you kind of get the best of both worlds with Firebending Student because you just buff the Firebending Student and attack, and all of a sudden you have all your mana back.
Yep.
In fact, you have more mana than you started with, which means that the kind of like the weakness of the play patterns out of prowess is pretty heavily mitigated. So the weakness has to be cards then, like the number of cards in your hand. But when you're playing mono red and you're killing somebody on turn 3, you have cards in hand. That's kind of just how that works. So it'll be interesting to see if there is enough of the critical mass of stuff in red decks to push this card to being a part of something really oppressive, or whether this is just kind of like a cute, dirtily little nonsense thing. I will say, really good with Leyline of Resonance.
I was just about to say, like, there's a world in which we actually see a little bit of an uptick in Leyline play again. Because Leyline, we all thought Leyline of Resonance was going to be the worst thing ever, and it was in Best of One. You know, in Best of One Arena, it was the worst thing ever. It's banned in Best of One Arena because of Monstrous Rage. And there's a world in which this comes back, because there's also, I'm blanking on the name right now, but there's the +3/+0 and haste spell from Tarkir Dragonstorm. Like, it just, it scares me. It scares me so much how good Red Prowess is again. And with currently, like we keep talking about, currently the best two decks have red in them and are functionally prowess decks. And so it just, this really was not needed. Like, we didn't really.
I'm holding out hope.
Yeah.
I like.
You can Heartless Act it.
Again, this is a 2-mana 1/2. And it's a 2-mana 1/2 without any evasion, right? So it's not like Slick Shot Show Off where you can force your opponent into weird mana situations by plotting it and attacking on the next turn.
Yep.
It's not a Monastery Swift Spear. It doesn't have haste. You have to play this and sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is like a sign. And it dies to literally every piece of removal in the format.
Yeah, the fact that Shock hits this is pretty upsetting as well,
yeah,
for sure.
Like Shock, Grim Bauble, Burst Lightning,
Nowhere
Torch
to run.
The Tower.
Yeah.
Literally everything gets this.
Yeah.
It is a good removal check, and it was likely to force your opponent to play more removal spells. But I don't know. Remains to be seen. This reads as very powerful. We'll see if it actually is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So the next card that I want to talk about, this is a blue card.
Ooh, double D, double die.
This is Ty Lee, Chi Blocker.
Okay.
She is a legendary creature, human performer ally, for 2 and a blue. She's a 2/1. She has flash and prowess. When Ty Lee enters, tap up to 1 target creature. It doesn't untap during its controller's untap step for as long as you control Ty Lee.
Okay.
One, the flavor on this is incredible given Avatar's story.
Oh, yeah.
This is brilliant. Ty Lee, if you've not seen Avatar, is not a bender. She's a non-bender, and she has mastered the art of chi blocking, which can temporarily prevent people from bending. And this is used a lot throughout the show. This ability, like the way that this is done, is just brilliant. I really like the flavor of this just to start with. It's a standard legal Palace Jailer, in a way. Obviously not the same, but I've been watching a lot of Modern lately. So I'm recognizing Palace Jailer.
Is that card in Modern?
Sorry, I just watched Highlander this weekend. Sorry, it's not in Modern. I just did commentary for the Highlander event this weekend. So in my head, I saw Palace Jailer a couple times.
Yeah, go watch that. It was a good
it
event.
It was a really good event. There was 3 events in 1, actually. It's a standard Palace Jailer type effect in that as long as Ty Lee is there, and with Palace Jailer, you exile a creature an opponent controls until they become the monarch. And this is the same but different. It stays
it's tapped. It's a Banisher Priest.
It's a tap until Ty Lee is taken care of effect. And I do like that. I think that's a very interesting way to force your opponent to interact with the board because it becomes a 1-for-1 in a way, right? I think Flash Prowess also really cool on Ty Lee. I think, and again, the flavor on that is awesome. Like the Flash is like effect, especially because there are moments in the show where she just appears. Pew, 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 pew. Like, I love it. I think it's really brilliant. I like the way that this card is designed. 3-mana flash, a little tricky. I think the 3-mana slot in a deck is the most important one in Standard. And so, as much as I love the card and I think it's really cool and I think the effect is really cool, I'm also second-guessing myself a little bit and saying, where exactly is this going to go? Because the control-style decks that want to play these prison-style effects don't care about a Flash Prowess type effect. And the aggressive decks that would want to have, you know, these blue-red prowess decks, you have to be careful how you attack into things. And so the stun effect is important. But this is my pick for fantastic flavor, good effects, like a great, you know, integration of Avatar into the game.
For sure. I mean, I see this as a VV Mirror Breaker.
Sure, yeah.
Right? It's just a 3-mana thing with Flash that you can use your VV or Firebending student mana on that interacts with your opponent's creatures that lets you push damage. And yeah, it's a 3-drop, and the card it's competing for is literally VV, and that is some stiff competition.
It's a really high bar.
But yeah, like, this card is just kind of good. I agree. I'm not necessarily super convinced in a, like, controlling deck that this is what you want. But in the sort of, like, forward tempo deck, I could see this card seeing play in, like, at the top end of Simic aggro, right, as a one or two of to deal with a shieldred-like creature, right? Yeah. Just like, oh, you know, I have this 3-mana removal spell that is also a creature that also gets bigger that incidentally will be buffed if I cast a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems fine.
Seems very cool. I think she's awesome. I think the way that they've designed this card is very intelligent.
Flavorfully, 10 out of 10.
Fantastic.
So
I'm going to nominate this for, was this Magic Data Science, the Shadowfax Award. I think this is like a blend of well-integrated story, character, and effect.
Amazing.
Are you unfamiliar with the Shadowfax Award?
I am unfamiliar.
The Shadowfax Award is an award. There's an account called Magic Data Science. They award the Shadowfax Award, which was based off of the Lord of the Rings card Shadowfax, because in the Lord of the Rings, Gandalf says, "Shadowfax, show us the meaning of haste," and Shadowfax has haste with reminder text. It also is like a horse lord and things like that. And so the Shadowfax Award is something that in the set, this is largely for Universes Beyond, but blends the flavor, style, and integration of the Universes Beyond set within Magic. And so this is kind of my first nomination for the Shadowfax Award is Tylee. I think this is a very great integration. Flash, prowess, stun. I think it's very well done.
Yeah, awesome. The next card I want to talk about is actually less for Standard and more for Eternal formats.
Okay, so this is like our modern Highlander.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the card I want to talk about, and I have to have it pulled up on my phone because it has so much text, is Wan Shi Tong, Librarian. It is blue X for a legendary creature, bird spirit, with flash, flying, and vigilance. It is a 1/1 on its face. And it also says, when Wan Shi Tong enters, put X +1/+1 counters on him, then draw half X cards rounded down. So where X is the X in his mana cost.
Yep. Yep.
And then, whenever an opponent searches their library, put a +1/+1 counter on Wan Shi Tong and draw a card.
Just one moment of... Yeah.
So the obvious use case here is fetch lands.
Yeah, this is going to be a modern. This is going to be in modern.
This is going to be in modern. I expect it will be in Legacy. I expect it will be in Highlander. Anywhere where fetch lands run rampant,
yeah,
this card is sure to be.
I mean, fetch lands as well as Birthing Pod, as well as Green Suns.
Yeah.
Like,
this art is going to be all over 7-point Highlander.
Oh, it's going to be all over 7-point. This is going to, without a doubt, it's going to be played in Highlander because, holy moly, this is not like on its face, it's a 1-1. It's never a 1-1.
And no.
The best thing about it is that you can cast it for 2 and just not draw cards.
Except that you do, because your opponent sacrifices a fetch land and then you cast it for 2. And then their fetch trigger resolves and you put a counter out and draw a card. There is almost never a world.
But it's rounded. It's rounded down.
No. It's second ability. Whenever your opponent searches their library, you put a +1/+1 counter on it and draw a card.
Oh, I thought it was just when they search their library, you put a counter on it, and I was like, "Oh, that's really, really good."
No, you draw a card.
This card is so much better.
I'm gonna
show
double.
Let me hang on. Show it.
Yeah. Whenever an opponent searches their library, put a +1/+1 counter on Wan Shi Tong and draw a card.
This is my new favorite card.
It is.
Wow.
Absurd.
Oh my God.
It is completely deranged.
That is, yeah. This is a, you better interact with this. So help me God.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So like this is, okay. So obviously this is.
This card is amazing.
This is going to see play in modern as a like, Bowmaster style blue card draw creature, something or other.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely true. But kind of rewinding all the way back to Standard.
Yeah.
I think this card is just also kind of good enough for Standard, right? As a control finisher, because it has flash. Right?
Yes.
Flash, flying, vigilance is a hell of a set of keywords. So even if it is just like 4 mana for a 2/2 flash flying vigilance that draws you a card, that's fine. Or in like the late game when your 4-color control decks are casting Jeskai Revelation, you're just like, cast this for 8 mana, draw 3 cards, and attack you with a, like, and attack you with a 5/5 flyer or whatever. That's also just fine, right? I think this is going to see play in Standard. I think it's going to see play in Pioneer. I think it's going to see play in Modern. I think it's going to see play in Legacy. I think it's probably going to see play in Vintage. Like, this card is
really good.
Messed up power levels. The fact that it draws the card on search is crazy to me.
It's very much.
Imagine having this in play against Amulet Titan.
Yeah. I like that.
Cast Scapeshift, draw a card. Cycle Talarian, what's it called?
Talaria West. You transmute Talaria West.
Yeah, draw a card. Cast Titan, draw a card. Attack with Titan, draw a card.
And also while you're doing that, you're putting counters on it and making it bigger.
Mm-hmm. For 2 mana. I think this card is absurd.
This does also, the search cases in Standard are way less significant in terms of like Fabled Passage, Demolition Field, but they're not zero.
Mystical Teachings,
I was going to leave that one for you. I didn't want to steal your Mystical Teachings thunder. I was going to leave that one for you.
I'm so excited for 4 color control mirrors where you're just like sitting there holding your Wang Shi Tong and your Mystical Teachings, and you're just trying to bait your opponent into casting their Mystical Teachings so you can cast your Wang Shi Tong before you have to cast your Mystical Teachings and they can cast their Wang Shi Tong. This card makes me very happy.
Flash Flying Vigilance is an insane...
Flash Flying Vigilance? What the hell is that?
Combination of keywords.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cards that are going to see play in Eternal formats.
Smooth.
Redirect Lightning.
Ooh.
I think this is a banger.
Speak to me.
As an additional cost to cast this spell, pay 5 life or pay 2 generic. Change the target of target spell or ability with a single target.
Yep.
I think this is a winner.
Okay. Take me there.
Redirect Lightning on your Hymn to Turok.
I mean, that's good. I'm not going to disagree with you that that's good. That's a lot of life to do it, though.
It's a lot of life, but I think the payoff could be huge.
Sure.
I think getting your opponent to effectively discard 3 cards for 5 life is kind of awesome.
Okay.
I'm insane. Again, this is coming off of the backs of doing the Highlander event where I was watching people.
I have a question for you.
Who's playing Hymn to Turok?
Who is playing
Hymn to Turok? I was watching Highlander this weekend. That's what the answer is.
Is anybody in Highlander playing Hymn to Turok?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I stand corrected, yes. I guess. I thought that card had been power crept out of the format.
No, I was. There were several times I watched Hymn to Turok get cast on people who had like 2 cards. Sorry, not 2 cards, but like 3 cards in hand. I really like Redirect Lightning. I also think it's just... I just like it. I think a Deflecting Swat type ability is really good. It's incredibly powerful in Commander. And obviously a card like this... 5 life in Commander is nothing.
Sure.
This card is going to be obvious include in any red Commander deck because 5 life in a 40 life format is nothing. But when 5 life is
it's just 20%...
When it's 20% of your life total, that can be more significant. And in an aggressive format like Standard, that is a non-zero cost. And in a high-powered format like Modern, that is a serious cost to consider. But in saying that, having watched RC10, Regional Championship 10 Modern, and watching people fetch shock, fetch shock, fetch shock, like 3 turns in a row, and go down to like 10 or 12 life, surely 5 life in that instance... is, you know, bolt shock yourself isn't that high of a bar.
You're a Boros Energy player.
Life is so important to Boros Energy players.
Yeah.
They're so important.
And against Boros Energy players.
It's so important.
Like, I feel like the only time, I will say, this card, probably pretty good against Belcher.
Well, that's like, sideboard piece, probably. Sideboard piece. Yes, seems good against Belcher,
I
though.
I don't think this card is main deckable.
But sideboard playable, and I think this is actually a good piece of tech, and I say this, no, we know what's coming next week. There's someone who's gonna, there's a certain black mage that should be leaving the format. But this would be good in Vivi, because the additional two, if you have a Vivi, is kind of nothing. This is a free change the target of spell, target kill your Vivi, no, target kill your thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that line's a little, like, I agree that that's powerful. I think this card is not good if it's fair, I think. And, like, one red mana is, I think, the cheapest we've seen this effect outside of Deflecting Swat and Commander.
Where it's free.
Where it's free.
As long as you control your commander.
Yep. But, like, redirect effects have to be doing something broken to be worth the card slot, because they don't do something a lot of the time.
Well, because I'm also thinking this could be pretty decent. Like, Dimir Mill has still been running around. I still think that could be pretty decent against, like, yeah, I'm going to, you know,
exhaust my River Churn
Monument. Exhaust River Churn Monument, target player, Mill set. No, you.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. But again, that's broken, right?
Yeah.
That is something that is very, very powerful. So I agree, this could definitely be a sideboard piece. I'm not sure it's, like, you're not playing this in a mid-range mirror.
No. But I like this card.
Yeah.
And you pointed out something really interesting over the phone this morning when you said there are no cards that currently say learn on them. And so all of these lessons you're having to play fairly. You can't just go, you know, learn, fetch them out of your sideboard.
Yes. I think if there were learn cards in the format,
it's a lot better.
A lot of the lessons get a lot better. And maybe we will see them in the upcoming Strixhaven set.
That was my thinking.
But right now, because there's no way to fetch them, they're just normal cards, right?
Yeah.
There are some lessons matter, like, cards in the set.
Like Sokka.
Yeah, exactly. But in and of themselves, the lessons are just not quite powerful, broadly speaking, to play mainboard. But, like, if you could divide by zero, get redirect lightning, I think all of a sudden the power level of redirect lightning is, like, goes from a conditional six to, like, a 12.
Yeah. I like it.
I like it.
I like it. I think possibly more use cases in a format like Modern. Like, being able to change the Belcher target at instant speed.
Yeah.
If you're on six life, easy.
Yeah.
Literally, like, on six life, one red, go to one. That's all she wrote.
100%. No, you is a powerful line of text.
Yeah. So what's, you know, that's redirect lightning. I like it. I think it's going to be good in some, you know, the sideboard of some things. And if we get learn cards, it'll be better. What do you have next?
The next card I have is Day of Black Sun. It is black X for a sorcery. And it says, each creature with mana value X or less loses all abilities until end of turn. Destroy those creatures.
Wow.
This card's really interesting.
Haven't had a good black sweeper in a little bit, so glad to have that back. Very interesting.
Certainly a good cheap black sweeper.
Yes. Well, the option for it to be a cheap black sweeper as well, because some of the last ones that I remember, Cruelty of Gix.
Gix's Command?
Gix's Command, yeah. Because that was 5 mana.
Yep.
And a lot of black sweepers hang around that 5 mana. And, like, even looking back, like, Path of Peril was 3, but conditionally 5 to get rid of actually everything.
I think it was 6. I think it was 4 black white.
Well, no, because it had a cleave cost.
Yes.
Because it was, like, 1 black, and then the cleave was 1 white, I believe. Could be wrong.
You might be right. I believe you.
I'm frequently right.
Yeah, I mean.
But, like, at this option to do it cheaper, to do, oh, yeah, I see your token deck and your all of your Llanowar elves. Yeah, X is 1. Love it.
I think, importantly, this gives the, like, black X decks a bit more game against mono red.
Uh-huh.
I think the fact that this blows up all the annoying 1-drops on 3 mana, blows up all the annoying 2-drops and 1-drops at 4 mana, right? Like, This with X equals two is pretty close to just being Day of Judgment against mono red. Yep. And I think that makes the mono black matchup into mono red a little bit better. And I think mono black has been missing that sort of like versatile cheap kind of like board wipe, because the power of mono black is that its threats are so good,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Preacher of the Schism, insane card. Mm-hmm. Deep Cavern Bat's actually very, very good card,
mm-hmm.
but Deep Cavern Bat's is much harder to justify in the face of Razorkin Needlehead Screaming Nemesis.
Yes. Also, I feel like something we can see in this instance with like loses all abilities, magic sets are designed years in advance. And this feels like something that was designed with like Heartfire Hero in mind of a, yeah, I'm going to kill the Heartfire Hero, but it loses all abilities, so I will not take damage when this resolves. Wow. I like it. I think this is really cool. I think this is a really cool, really interesting black sweeper. It also means there's various other effects of like when this dies, do X, you know. Oh, because that would also turn off the earthbending stuff.
Who does?
Sometimes the people at Wizards do know what they're doing. I'm so much more up on that.
There's lots of weird little use cases for this card.
I think
this card is, it is a really good balance of versatile and powerful.
Yeah.
I think if there is going to, and I think it makes an excuse for like blue black X control to be powerful instead of just the blue white that we've been seeing. I'm up on this card. I think this card's really good.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. No. Yep. Nothing more to say. Yep. Good.
Card good.
Card is good. And also clearly again like designed with a limited environment in mind, like if you are playing against
insane and limited.
If you're playing against an earthbending deck, that's a lot of stone rains.
For black black.
Just saying. Yeah. You can just cast it for black black because they have no mana value.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's you thought sinkhole was good. Black black destroy target land. Try black black destroy 10 target lands.
All of your opponent's creature lands. This message has been approved by someone who loves playing Strip Mine and Wasteland.
Hey.
That's pretty good. Okay. Well, I've got a black removal spell that I want to talk about as well.
I do so love a black removal.
We're getting
spells.
A lot of really good ones in.
I feel like we talk about a lot of black removal spells in our spoiler episodes.
We do because they're good.
Yeah, it turns out
they're really good. So the one that I want to talk about is Epic Downfall. Epic Downfall is one in a black sorcery, exile target creature with mana value 3 or greater.
That's it. Seems pretty good.
Short, sweet, and to the point is what's really important there. This is kind of the opposite of Long Goodbye, which is exile target creature with mana value 3 or less. So now you're covered.
Yeah, if you play both of them.
You're covered. But I just, again, exile effects tend to be really strong. There are various, you know, we don't have a lot of graveyard decks running around in the format right now, but there are a lot of recursive effects that like the graveyard, and getting around that is always really helpful.
Agatha's Soul Cauldron.
Need I say more? And additionally, this is going to, you know, he's leaving. He's not welcome here anymore, but it would hit Vivi, which is important.
Hit Screaming Nemesis?
Screaming Nemesis, Ouroboroid, now that that's becoming...
Ooh, Ouroboroid's, you're so right.
Hits Ouroboroid.
Meringue River Regent?
Hits a Meringue River Regent. Sorcery speed is a little bit more limiting. Sorcery speed removal, obviously not as good. There is, you know, Fel from Bloomborough, which is not seeing any play at all. And so that obviously is a bit of an indicator of where sorcery speed removal sits. But that is just a destroy effect as opposed to an exile effect. And exile effects, again, tend to be a bit stronger. So
it's all of the enduring creatures, too. And once Vivi goes, I think we'll see an uptick in the enduring decks again. So
Otters, I think, will come back. But if that's the case, it hits Thundertrap Trainer.
Yeah, Dimir Midrange. How does it hit Thundertrap Trainer?
Sorry, what's the Valley Floodcaller.
Yes.
It hits Valley Floodcaller. Thundertrap Trainer is a 2-mana creature. Valley Floodcaller is 3.
Yeah, hits Valley Floodcaller, hits...
That's actually the more important one, because that's the untap one.
Yeah, hits Enduring Vitality.
Enduring Vitality, Enduring Innocence. Nobody plays Enduring Courage or Enduring Tenacity, sorry, but it would hit those as well. It hits Enduring Curiosity.
It does. That's
and
really important.
Exiling the Enduring creatures is very important, because it means they don't die and they don't come back as an enchantment, so...
Yeah, and maybe this is the kind of thing that's a sideboard card out of black. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and like sorcery is a big hit.
Sorcery speed is a huge limiting factor because it means you make that decision on your turn, and these are the kind of plays that you'd rather be making on your opponent's turn.
Well, it's also the kind of thing where, like, if your opponent flashes in an Enduring Curiosity, you don't then get to exile it before the damage is dealt.
Yep.
And that is obviously where a lot of the damage is done. But it is also incredibly mana efficient.
Yep.
So... I reckon there's a good chance this is just good enough.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We're predicting. We're using our heuristics. We're using our brains.
We're using the great guidance of one Ben Tubman.
So what's your last card for this?
My final card.
Okay.
And I will say.
Is it the best one?
I'm going to say.
Wan Shi Tong is huge, but.
This is my stretchiest card.
Oh, okay. Tell me about your stretchies.
And I always leave a little bit of a stretch for last. Something that I
a little bit of a hmm?
a little bit of a Vinwixt for last. If
right.
You will.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. The card I am talking about is Momo Friendly Flyer.
Okay.
It is 1 white.
Yeah.
For a legendary creature, Lemur Bat Ally.
Yep.
It has flying.
Yep.
And it says, the first non-Lemur creature spell with flying you cast during each of your turns costs 1 less to cast. And whenever another creature you control with flying enters, Momo gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
Explain that to me. Explain this pick to me.
So there's this deck called Orzhov Pixie.
I got gut. Dang it. I can't believe I fell for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I have spoken a little bit recently about the, like, aggressive version of Orzhov Pixie, right?
Yes.
About the, like, 4 Pixie, 4 Ambrosia, 4 Nurturing, not Nurturing, the Kieran, Sunpearl Kieran.
Yeah.
With the kind of, like, aggressive... The more aggressive approach with...
Cosmogrand Zenith, Elspeth.
The little one. 1 white whenever an enchanter enters.
Oh, Optimistic Scavenger.
That's the one. The one I can never remember the name of.
Yes.
And I'm really liking that deck and how it feels at the moment. And this card just seems pretty good. Like, it's a 1-mana, 1-1 flyer. It makes your Kieran's a mana cheaper.
Flash for 1, good.
Yeah, flash for 1, good. It is in your turn. The effect on Momo.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But less even good. Then, just like another 1-mana pixie, pretty good.
Yeah.
It gets bigger whenever a creature with flying enters. It pushes a little bit of damage. It's just like Flying Man with upside. I like Flying Man with upside. Now, I don't necessarily think this is going to make the cut, but I'm going to play it as a 2-of probably, because I think there are matchups where going fast is really important. And I think this helps enable that really well. And there have been some whispers, some speculations, some hopes. And I am not convinced, but there is a slim, slim chance that we may see the return of Hopeless Nightmare.
There have been some, like, very quiet murmurings, very quiet mumblings of maybe some unbans are going to come with the ban announcement next week. So
now I'm not convinced, I will say. But if it were to happen and all of a sudden Orzhov Pixie gets its best clock enabler back, a 1-mana 1-1 flyer with upside that makes it easier to cast more Hopeless Nightmares with your Kieran's, all of a sudden Momo starts to look a lot better.
Mm.
Is this card good? Probably not. But maybe. It's certainly cheap enough and efficient enough and evasive enough and buying into the game plan enough that the upside is definitely there.
Mm.
Remains to be seen.
I'm excited.
I'm so sorry.
I can't wait. I think this is going to be a really fun set. I think it's going to be nostalgic for a lot of people. I think it's going to be an interesting limited environment. I'm actually really excited to get back into drafting. I don't think I've really drafted since Edge of Eternities.
I'm very excited.
So let's see. I can't wait.
And with all that said, that is all that we have for you today. New episodes release every Monday at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can follow all of our releases at RaiseMTG on Instagram and Blue Sky, and you can find Kira and myself on those platforms as well, with Kira at kirabovira.jpg on Instagram and Kira Bovira on Blue Sky, and myself at MayaMTG on both platforms. A big thank you to Henhouse Recording Studios for the ongoing use of their space. And remember, until next week, Rabaroos are famous enjoyers of hopping and infamous enjoyers of cabbages.